Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 111 of Just Press Start, the JPS podcast here at www.justpressstart.net. As always, with me, my producer, Luke. Say hi, everybody. Say hi to everybody, Luke.
Hi, everybody.
And returning from a hiatus, Mr. Horvath. Dave, welcome back, my friend.
Hey, it's good to be back. And is there any coincidence that, you know, it's episode 111 and we got the Hobbit coming out soon, you know, with Bilbo's 111th birthday in The Lord of the Rings? Can I throw out a Lord of the Rings reference?
We can, because we actually planned that. That was always the plan. Yes, 111 coinciding with the eventual release of The Hobbit, right, Luke? Well, that was always our goal.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Exactly. Yes.
Tolkien would be proud.
That's when we first started this podcast 3 years ago. We said, you know, eventually we'll get to the and we'll have this moment, and we're here. So.
Wow.
I was going to make another comment, but I'm sure I'll be disagreed with, so it's okay.
Okay.
Anyway, so we have much to go over this evening. So where do we want to start? Do we want to start with our, insert company here?
Yeah, might as well start with that.
It's a little old at this point, but I think still worth it. So, Squeenix.
Hey, Jeff. Jeff, did you get those death threats I sent you on Facebook?
That was absolutely horrible. Oh, my goodness.
Now,
I don't care that it's old. It's still just you got to shake your head at that. I mean, come on.
Well, first of all, we need to let everybody know what we're talking about.
And then let's do that.
That it's been redacted, but we need to we at least need to tell everybody what's going on.
Right. Well, then why don't you go ahead, Dave,
with the somewhat sinking sales of Hitman Absolution, they decided to bring out an app that interacts with Facebook. And what this thing does, it allows you to put a hit on your friends. And now, off the cuff, that kind of sounds like it might be okay, but then they started getting into the different reasons why you might want to put a hit on, or little identifying things that would help the hitman at least find your target. And some of them are actually pretty offensive, and in an age with children being overrun with bullying at school and everything, it kind of brings that right back around. Some of the things that they say that you can put a hit on your friend, threaten to murder your chums, and mock them for their looks, the size of their breasts, or penis. And that is not made up. I wish I could make that up. Some of the things that if you wanted to say, I don't know, throw a joke on one of your girlfriends on Facebook, you can make fun of her awful makeup, or maybe her strange odor, or perhaps even her hairy legs. You know, and it goes on to different things, like I said, breasts and for nails for penis size, and it's just hugely tasteful and absolutely ridiculous. And there has been an update since then that the first Square issued an apology for the app, and a full statement basically said that we didn't expect it to go this route. And then later they just completely terminated the entire app, and it was really in a whirlwind kind of thing. They didn't really get much time, but it kind of begs to question, how did this get by the promotions team anyway? You know, it's just ridiculous.
I read an interesting theory on that. Well, first of all, I'm very offended by that app because I don't like to be threatened due to the size of my breasts. That upsets me. If people are jealous, you know, somebody jealous, that's on them. That's not on me. You shouldn't threaten me for that. Oh,
you know, this is a family show.
A majority of people wear the wrong size bra, so you may want to look into that, Jeff.
Yeah, I'll have to look into that. But, I mean, the whole thing, you're saying, how did it get past, you know, marketing people? I read an interesting theory on Giant Bomb where somebody suggested that this whole thing was a work kind of thing, that they knew, obviously, that this would be offensive, but it got people talking, and bad publicity, you know, no publicity is worse than bad publicity.
Yeah.
So I kind of wonder if that is a thing and if that's kind of where this went. Because like you said, I just can't imagine somebody going, oh, yeah. Because, I mean, first of all, somebody had to have the idea. Then they had to have meetings because you can't do anything in life without having meetings.
Oh, yeah. So,
There was a meeting of many high-ranking people at these companies saying, hey, we want to do this app. And they all said, oh, that sounds good. We'll use the social media that the kids seem to like. So they used the social media that the kids seem to like. They had to then hire or retask programmers to create the app. And at some point, like this post said on Giant Bomb, somebody along the line would have had to have said, this doesn't seem like maybe you guys don't know how Facebook works, but this doesn't seem like a good idea, gang. So I just kind of wonder if the idea was just get the name out there.
To the same token, they also thought Final Fantasy 13 was a good idea.
Well, see, there is that.
Well, going back to, easy on the whole Final Fantasy 13 thing, because that was, it was more rushed out. I'm going to stick by that, and that's why they're re-releasing it, you know, next month, if I'm not mistaken.
You know, we not buy it.
I will continue to not own Final Fantasy.
It is an MMO, so I wouldn't expect either of you to own it, so.
Hey, I even gave up on the Old Republic, so, you know.
Even though it's free-to-play?
Well, since it went free-to-play, some sort of weird thing happened, I guess, in one of the earlier patches, way after I let my subscription lapse, where everything is a slideshow now, and I was able to run that in Ultra back when it first came out, and I don't believe that it's to do with lag. I think they put some sort of graphics patch in or something, and all hell is broken loose, and a lot of people are saying it's an issue, so I'm going to wait and see if that is fixed, and then I'll go and use the loot that I had gotten, because I was a paid subscription holder for 6 months or whatever it was that I owned it. 3 months, 4 months.
And you paid for it all those months?
I paid for it for the months I played it. And then I just, when I realized I wasn't really going to play it anymore, I immediately terminated. So I didn't hold on to it any longer. Once I realized I was starting to kind of lose interest and I did that, I let it lapse. So wow. No, I did not pay for a game I wasn't playing. So.
Not as bad as me with Eve sometimes.
I noticed Eve has a special going on right now where you can get a 1 month for $4.99. You get the game up to its current release and 1 month for $4.99. Trying to.
Well, the one thing that Eve always did really well that
for
I $8.99, always
you'll get completely boned by a mega corporation and get all your stuff stolen from you.
Nice. Now, the one thing I did give Eve a lot of credit for is their twice a year patches, or not patches, mm-hmm. but expansions.
Content
updates,
right? Yeah.
Yeah. Content releases every 6 months they release a big one and it's free. They believe, you know, hey, you know, you pay for the service, so you should get the patches rather than, you know,
cool.
charging all this extra money and stuff for them like, you know, other companies do.
You know, the unfortunate part with that, though, and this is all personal and you know, so it's all subjective, but I've grown so incredibly tired with the MMO formula, and I've tried several different ones and you know, ones that look good and try to get back into it, and it always ends up getting back into the same just useless grind that bores me to tears, and I don't know. I'm waiting for the next MMO revolution to come about, and I just don't see anybody coming up with that formula.
Trying not
wow.
to speak. Trying not to just sit here and toot the Eve.
You know what, Dave? It's how erudite that he can be that just makes me really proud to be on this podcast week after week.
Well, I'm trying not to get on the Eve soapbox and start sitting there saying things like, "Well, Eve's completely different, and this is why it's different," and blah 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 blah. Because yeah, I've said it time and time again, and well, you're tired of hearing it, Jeff. I don't even need you to tell me you're tired of hearing it.
Nah.
The know? Only one that's actually that still kind of piques my interest right now is Guild Wars 2, and I may eventually pick that up here soon because it doesn't have a monthly fee. And but I don't know. I just there's something about the MMO model that just doesn't appeal to me anymore.
See, since Old Republic was my first MMO ever. I thought, wow, you know, the idea of going on quests and doing all this stuff and talking to people with exclamation marks over their heads. I was really excited about that whole thing. And I think, again, I played it for about probably 3-4 months religiously. Jen and I would go on and do, you know, whatever the dungeons were called together and do some of the quests together and so on and so forth, which would have made for some great Let's Plays. I wish we had been able to record back then. But I kind of was into it, and then I was playing one section on Tatooine, which is about, I'd say, about halfway through my Jedi Knight story, and I was just grinding through something to get to a boss, and I finally just said, you know, it's just too many battles over and over and over where I just hit 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 cooldown, 1, 2, 3, 5, 7 cooldown, and yeah, I just completely lost interest in it. So every so often, something in the back of my head, I see a commercial for it, or I see an ad or something, and I think, man, I really want to play WoW. And then I think, well, no, that was the uber or example of what I don't like. So yeah, it might be different because of the storyline or whatever, but I don't want to just stare at stuff and click the same keys over and over again for the combat. So I that's why I don't do it.
Mm. Well, that unfortunately, that is the MMO model in most games,
right?
Including Eve. Eve's just a little more, hey, how do I balance my ship to be completely different from everyone else's, to where I can constantly fire everything and not have to worry about.
It seems like it's a lot more. Everybody out there is out to either help you or zap you, and it seems like it's a much bigger community. It seems like the game kind of has taken a life of its own versus something like WoW, where everything, or Old Republic or any of the other MMOs, where there are scripted things and then there are dungeons or whatever. But it seems like Eve primarily is, here's a ship, go out there. It's kind of like the Evacron mercenary of MMOs. Go out there, do whatever you want. Here's a ton of people. Some are ready to help you. Some want to, you know, steal everything you've owned and you know, kill you and then steal everything that's left. So that seems more intriguing to me.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, combat is still the same, though. You know,
is it?
It's basically, hey, I want to fire this set of guns. I'm going to hit F1, you know? I want to fire this set of guns. I'm going to hit F2.
So it's still spell rotation, just with...
Well, it's less rotation, though, because obviously you don't want to stop firing your guns unless you have to. Or you want to stagger how you're firing your guns so that one gun's reloading while the other one's firing still. You know, there is a little bit of that.
Right.
But, you know, overall, yeah, there is more to Eve. Eve does have its scripted stuff, though. I'm not going to sit here and say it doesn't. Mm-hmm. You know,
see, Dave, that's why I'm wondering. Maybe you and I would consider MechWarrior Online. Because I don't know how big a fan you were of the old MechWarrior games, but that seems like it's a little bit different because there's at least the skill of piloting and all that stuff involved,
yeah.
Versus just, you know, grind.
No, I haven't looked too much into that. Now, it just initial impression when you say that makes me think it's more competitive multiplayer than it is MMO. I mean, it's probably the vision, at least I'm getting in my head, is a persistent world where there's a constant war going on where you kind of jump in and do your part.
Yeah, it's like that. Yeah, from what I understand, I still haven't done very much with it at all. So,
Yeah, I don't know. There was a game that came out. Jeez, this had to be late 90s, early 2000s, somewhere around there. RF Online. It was Rising Force Online. It used to be a paid service, and then it became free to play and absolutely ruined itself. But yeah, that. The crux of that is after you got done with your single player, you had three factions, and these factions were always at war. And when you grinded your hero up to a certain level, you were able to enter the war, and then it became just this massive three-faction guild raid, essentially, you know, or faction raid. You were in this instanced area where every day at certain amount of, at a certain time, everybody would go to war, and each side, whatever faction won the war, basically had more kill death ratio, would win the access to the mine, which every day they'd have it for 24 hours, and the mine would then prosper that faction's economy, which would bring down the prices of different consumables and all that kind of stuff. And it was a nice little economy setup, and that one I enjoyed. And but the war part of it was exciting. That's what's making me think about when you talk about MechWarrior Online. I may have to check that out. That actually sounds pretty interesting.
Yeah, I have to see more about it. So shall we move on to our next topic?
Sure.
Sure.
Well, let's talk about the THQ bundle then, since you guys seem to be very... excuse me. seem to be very eager to discuss it. So let's go on about this fantastic bundle, except for the fact that I own every game in it.
Yeah, well, I didn't. The only game in that bundle that I actually owned was Darksiders, and it wasn't that big of a deal because I didn't have it on Steam, and I have since not been able to find the disc, but truth be told, I don't think I'll ever play through it again. But yeah, it's kind of old now. People that don't know, THQ are falling on hard times, and they're trying to basically scrounge for pretty much anything they can to stay viable. And I don't know if they're trying to court people to see if they're attractive to purchase. Some of the rumors going out there is that maybe are the people we just spoke about, Square Enix, are looking to maybe purchase that. But that again is rumor. It's conjecture at this point. But yeah, they offered a humble bundle at Name Your Price, which the entry had Darksiders, Red Faction Armageddon, which, from what I understand, I don't know much about the Red Faction franchise, but I thought Armageddon was one of the lower-ranked ones. Metro 2033, a Company of Heroes, and two of the Company of Heroes expansions, which, if you paid over the premium, then they threw in for the third. And that, to me, was fantastic. I ended up jumping in that thing where the average purchase was somewhere around $5.50, somewhere around there. And so if you paid that, if you paid just over that, you were getting each game for essentially, you know, pennies on the dollar. And just recently, I don't know whether it was today or yesterday, they decided to throw in a couple older games, Titan Quest, the first Dawn of War, which is the Game of the Year edition. So it has, you know, everything that was Dawn of War at that time. And then they've also thrown in a DLC for that Red Faction Armageddon, which, I mean, DLC aside, if you can count that as an actual game, I mean, that's 10 game types for right now. The current average price is $5.72. So 57 cents a game is just incredible.
And the fact that the money does not have to go to THQ if you don't feel like riding the sinking ship either.
Well, yeah. And, you know, I mentioned before that, you know, Child's Play does things that affects me, you know, personally. And you know, I went and put a good portion of my money to Child's Play, but, you know, there are ways that you can adjust that. And I'm sure THQ is reaping some of the benefits of the $4.7 million that it's brought in at this point.
Right. So actually, there are a couple of games on there I don't own, but so I still have to consider it.
I was going to say THQ is not going to get any of my money when I finally do kind of break down and buy it. I'm making sure all of that goes to Child's Play, but there are many reasons why I do that. And Dave, you know, being one of those reasons why, because, well, obviously, you know, your situation, but also a lot of, you know, my students and stuff have, you know, benefited from Child's Play and whatnot as well.
And I already helped THQ out last month when I bought WWE 13, so...
Wow, that I wouldn't admit that to the public.
I did my part. I actually really, I have to tell you, it's a guilty pleasure game completely, but I'm really enjoying it.
Well,
I don't care if it makes me... What's that?
I can understand the guilty pleasure. I have a friend that is also in WWE as well as the games, but his recollection of that game was saying that from the leap from 2012 to 2013, as they absolutely ruined the game. From his standpoint, the game was great in 2012, but then this new one, they just abandoned all that and released a bad game.
Well, there are some things that are not great with it, but I haven't played a WWE game in like 5 or 6 years. I don't watch the product. Okay. In fact, the only wrestling game I'm really, really, really looking forward to is the new TEW, the new Adam Ryland one, which I should be reviewing next week when it releases.
You weren't supposed to tell anybody that.
Pinky swear.
Oh, right. Damn. Well, no, I'm allowed to say I'm reviewing it. It doesn't necessarily mean how I'm getting it. Anyway, if I may continue. I like the way they did some of the stuff, and with a good set of sliders, you can really adjust it so it plays very, very well. In fact, I noticed because I was on the Operation Sports forums looking for sliders and rating adjustments, one of our friends from Siren Games is a major contributor on the WWE forums over there. So I thought that was kind of cool. It's like, wait, I know that guy. So that was kind of cool. That's my whole story. That's my point. So before we finish out the other major things we wanted to talk about, I quickly wanted to say, I kind of told everybody so about Kickstarter. There's a Giant Bomb article called $28 Short. And it was how this game, what was the game now? Did you guys read this?
Yes.
I read that last week.
This came up on the Penny Arcade report.
Yeah. Oh, Alpha Colony's second Kickstarter fell just below its $50,000 funding goal. Now, the fact that it was $28 short, people are saying, why didn't they kick it in themselves? And they said, well, they really couldn't because apparently, see, I didn't know this. I've only kickstarted one or helped kickstart one project. I didn't know that you could adjust up or down your pledge up until like 24 hours before. So a lot of people thought it wasn't going to make it. So they dropped down to a dollar, which brought them well below, $28 below their goal. Mm-hmm. So that part is, that if that were the whole story, that would be kind of a bummer. What really bothers me with this is the fact that the developer admitted that, well, to really make a good game, I really needed at least 100,000, if not 150,000. But I thought for 50,000, I could make like a cut rate thing and maybe possibly get the rest from other sources. That bothers me so much. Because it's just like what I was complaining about with the Chris Roberts game. We're going to kickstart to raise money in order to really raise money. And the idea that, well, I'm going to make a shoddy product because, well, I'm only going to ask for part of what I need and hope that I get the rest some other way. This guy, they deserve to fail.
Well, I agree to that to an extent. If he comes out and says, which I know if he did, comes out and says that with the money, if he only got X amount, he was going to release an inferior product. Yes, that's bad. But from a business standpoint, I can see the Star Citizen point of view because they're courting investors to show that there is a public interest. Because trying to get a new IP out on the market is tough, and especially since sequels like the Call of Halo Duty 5, is out there that. Instantly sells and instantly does over 4 million units or whatever. I don't even know numbers, but trying to get a new IP, trying to get investors to actually talk about that, you need to have an edge. And I can see Chris Robinson's point of view of saying, okay, here's $2 million, these are X amount of people that want this game, and then therefore investor says, okay, I can take a risk with that.
I can see that, but where it bothers me is he needs 10 million, let's say, to make this game. He raises 2 million on Kickstarter and funds that. But then if he doesn't get that other 8 million or whatever it is he winds up needing, what happens to all that money? That's where I get worried, and that's why I would never support something like that, because
Kickstarter, you don't get the money unless you make your goal.
Right, so he makes his $2 million goal, but his real goal to actually make the game is $10 million or $12 million or whatever he really needs. And this is, see, there's $2 million worth of people who want to play this, so it's worth it to you. So he gets that. He's not saying he can make a game for that. He's saying, I can raise money with that. That it's like start capital.
But the other thing is, too, is Star Citizen on Kickstarter?
Yes.
Is it?
He started out with a regular thing, and then they did Kickstarter for a while, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. He started his own, and there was some kind of a complication with that. I don't remember the details and the background of that, but there was complications with his own Kickstarter, so he then moved it over to the actual Kickstarter organization.
Right.
Hmm.
So that's where I can totally see it that, hey, guys, this shows that people are – there is money to be made here, but – it just makes me nervous because if nobody wants to pull the trigger on it, it's just the whole, again, the concept of Kickstarter is turning into what I think what we all said, 6 months ago, when we first started talking about it, that it's going to turn into big names or companies who are going to be the ones to really profit because everyone's going to be nervous about whatever else is out there. So some things are still going to work. But there's going to be a lot of this stuff where you don't know, well, is this really what they need, or are they just saying they need enough to get them by? I think it's going to start sowing the seeds of its own irrelevance if this keeps up.
And you look at companies like Double Fine, which Double Fine has had some success. Now, they're not a huge house, and they're not, you know, just absolutely purging money. But I have to believe
rock star developer, yeah.
Right. I have to believe with some of their successes, they've been able to bank some to be able to fund their future games. But every time I turn around, I'm seeing a new Double Fine Kickstarter. And now I'm glad that they have a fan base that appreciates their unique style and their unique sense of gameplay that they put out in all their games. But it kind of seems like enough is enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And I think right now they have like 5 projects currently going on that were all individual Kickstarters, if I'm not mistaken.
Something like that, yeah. See, the difference is, like, with Planetary Annihilation, I felt confident in that one because I know where John lives. And, you know, so one way or the other, I'm getting my game or my $25 back. I mean, that's...
Wow.
I have I personally know those guys, so, you know, I feel a little bit more confident in it. And I know we've talked about this before. Jen has kickstarted board game projects where it's like, okay, yeah, I'll give them $25 because they're trying to raise, you know, $5,000 or $10,000, but it doesn't cost that much to make a board game. So, yeah, you take your chances, but you're more likely to see a product. Or FTL, something like that. They only needed – I think they only wanted $10,000 or something like that, and they wound up getting $200, making FTL the amazing experience that it is, opposed to the already fairly freaking good experience it was when I first played it. So, you know, there are still those guys out there, and guys or gals, who are going to make good games based on those Kickstarters, but it still worries me that there are people out there who are just using it as, like you said, Dave, to kind of hedge your bets and line your wallet for, yeah, I'll make something now and the rest of it will go into a war chest. That worries me.
I don't know. It all comes down to, in the end, looking at the company and really vetting the company. If you know it's a good company like Uber, then you have no problem putting your money towards it, or Double Fine, or somebody that has gone out and proven that they're not there to screw people over.
But that's the whole point, too, though. If they're proven, they really don't need Kickstarter. That's the thing that they should be.
It really depends on the IP, though, Jeff. And Dave does have some merit there. Nobody wants to do an RTS anymore. Nobody wants to do – well, before Walking Dead got all of its accolades, nobody wanted to do a point-and-click adventure, you know?
I will disagree with you and say Wajid Eye has made four –
No. Wajid Eye is not looking for a big publisher. They're not looking for somebody that's going to go out there and really, you know, no offense to them.
They're not going to say no either. That's my point.
No, but
they're doing it on their own. Edmund McMillan is doing it on his own. He didn't kickstart Binding of Isaac. He said, I'm going to make this game and I'm going to see how it goes. And he used money from Super Meat Boy. I think that there is benefit, but that when bigger companies or known companies take over who could get the money by other means, it seems to me to be kind of defeating the purpose of Kickstarter. That's what I'm just saying. So,
all right, I guess.
So, Luke, this one intrigues me, Luke.
Okay, what's that?
The Wonderful Terrible State of Multiplayer.
Yes.
I have not read anything that you've put up here. I apologize.
I read it so long ago too, so I'm gonna have to try to catch myself up on it here, aren't I?
All right, so Dave and I should talk amongst ourselves for a minute.
Well, all right. So I caught this article, and it was actually interesting, and I was a little shocked that something interesting came out of Kotaku other than their usual stuff, if you will. But
unless any of them listen to us, in which case it's a fine establishment, and I won't hear a word against them.
Well, yeah, it gets very, very, very interesting on how everyone feels that we're further and further isolating ourselves apart, even though we have things like social networking and stuff, and that we spend more time looking at our phones. And it's talking that, oh my God, you know, video games are going to bring the downfall of social interaction and stuff like that.
Oh man, I hope so.
Nice.
Is there any irony to that? The fact that when you said that, I was actually currently looking at my phone.
Yes. So the article goes on and it starts talking about some of the other games out there that are trying their hardest to actually bring people together and how some games are actually more mindful of couch co-op rather than, you know, the Call of Duties and stuff like that, that are just all about multiplayer co-op, no split screen. And they're looking at how there's other games out there that are actually bringing people together. Like, for instance,
yeah, it's called board games. Go out and make some friends.
Nice. No, but for instance, one game that they mentioned is this game, and I don't know if either of you have heard about it, called Johann Sebastian Joust.
Yes.
And
no.
Okay. So, Dave, just to catch you up and our listeners up that might not have heard about this, it is a PS3 game, or at least it uses PS3 Move controllers. Okay. So, it's a game. It runs on PS3, except there's no video. In fact, the whole point of the game is to move at the speed of the music and jostle someone else's controller, kind of like tag to music, or I have no idea how to put this.
The space that you're working in, is it confined to your living room? Are you chasing the people around the house? What?
I'm going to assume it's confined to the living room, but maybe you can chase people around the house. The videos that I've seen, you know, people are confined to a general play area, but it just looks hella fun. And they were comparing.
Okay, hold on. Don't ever say hella fun again.
But they were
new rule.
They were comparing how.
I'm sorry, that looks at me.
Even though multiplayer is going the direction that it's going, it's still a wonderful thing because there are gaming companies that mm-hmm. are looking at different ways to do multiplayer.
No, that is cool that people are trying to encourage other things. I mean, in terms of, oh my God, the world is going to end because everybody plays. What did you call it? Call of Halo Warfighter?
Yeah, something to that degree.
Black Ops
2.
To the max.
Call a Halo Warfighter in the middle of a battlefield.
To the max! Right.
Extreme.
That was it. So, you know, I think it's cool that, I mean, people do seem to forget that you don't have to just tack co-op multiplayer or competitive multiplayer onto everything in order to make it sell. So I like the idea that people are trying to do. I don't think we're in the middle of a crisis. I mean, anytime I want interaction, I go upstairs and play with my child and play, you know, we were all playing Transformers earlier where we were running around with actual plastic Transformers having a battle. So, you know, I think interaction like that still exists and still exists to a large degree. And again, there's board gaming, there's other types of things for social interaction, but I definitely applaud anybody who does try to break up. I'm more concerned about just the monotony of every game. Well, got to slap on multiplayer. You don't. So I'm glad that they're trying to do something different, intriguing, whatever, that gets people thinking about the way they interact in different ways.
Well, this is something that I've kind of wrestled with for the longest time, is ever since the advent of Xbox Live, or, you know, even the PS Network when it came into its own and actually became useful. I actually miss the days of couch co-op, you know, and I think back to playing Street Fighter II Turbo on my NES or Super NES and having somebody right next to me and, you know, elbowing them to try to make them mess up a move so I can get an advantage on them. Or, you know, and just little crazy things that is lost when you have a microphone connected to your head, that you're looking at a screen and there's somebody back behind there. And now some of that comes back in games like off the top of my head, I can think of the Need for Speed series and with their newest one, Most Wanted. Now the single player is it's okay. Multiplayer, if you have a group of friends in there and you're all, you know, connected, you all know each other and you're going around the thing, it's an absolute blast. And even the one before that, the Hot Pursuit. Now the single player on that was actually pretty good, but again, where that game really shined was when you were racing with a bunch of people that you actually knew and could connect up and have, you know, six people all going at it and vying for that top position and bragging rights and stuff like that. And that to me is what multiplayer is missing when you have the competitive co-op, because I mean competitive multiplayer. You get into the Call of Duty games, and this is what essentially turned me off to it, is if you don't invest 24 hours a day for 2 weeks straight, you're never going to be the top of that leaderboard. You're never going to have that sense of accomplishment or that thing. And when you do get that, if you do get that, even if you're playing a limited basis, it's hollow because you're with a bunch of randoms. You're with a bunch of people that either don't have your mic on, you have no affiliation with them, you don't really care for them, and you probably will never see them again. And so there is an element of multiplayer, to me at least, that's missing, that is sorely missing, that I think needs to be captured again.
Like I said, I don't think anything ever gets better than even couch co-op. I don't think even gets as good as a bunch of people sitting around playing a board game, playing D&D, literally, you know, on a tabletop, that kind of thing. I think that kind of interaction, because the interaction just isn't just with the game, it's chatting back and forth. Because like, Luke, even when you and I played our first unofficial now Blood Bowl match, yeah, we were chatting a little bit, but because we were playing a timed game on the computer, that where you didn't really have that sense of hanging out, drinking a couple of Mountain Dews, chatting, and oh yeah, we'll play the game at the same time. It's just got a totally different feel to it. So I just don't know that anything can ever, nothing electronic really can ever get you that feeling of being out there with real people. So if people really do use it, and these are my only friends, I mean, that's sad. That's a little scary. But yeah, I don't think any, I don't play a lot. Like I said, I don't play a lot of online multiplayer because exactly like you said, Dave, when it was a group, Luke will remember this, when we first started playing Gears of War, I don't even remember everybody's name, but there was a group of about what, 7 or 10 of us who would go on every night. And that was kind of cool because we would talk, we would, you know, BS about whatever while we were playing the game. And that was the closest I've ever gotten to feeling like a tabletop thing, because yeah, we were playing the game, but it was more about hanging out, having a good time, chatting or whatever, rather than sitting there really being worried about kill death. Mm-hmm. So I just don't know that anything can really recreate, like I said, something that's the more intimate. I mean, I guess the closest would be something like Artemis, but again, that was a couch. That would be the equivalent of a couch co-op, because everybody was in the same room watching one screen interacting.
Well, Artemis is a video game that does things differently, because you do have to be in the same room with everyone. And,
true.
And Artemis is also, you know, this is awesome. Today, for $3, Artemis released their iOS version of the game.
No way.
Oh, yeah. And supposedly, the iOS version can link up with the PC version, so people now don't actually have to have their laptops to play the freaking game.
We have to get them on the show. I know I'm supposed to have been working on that, but I will.
I've messaged them a couple of times, you know.
Oh, have? Okay.
Just to see, and I don't know. But the fact that I don't know if it's – I don't know if it's going to work on an iPhone. I think it might have to be like an iPad only thing, but still, you
man,
know.
Do you know what would be awesome if they were to consider with that? You play the game proper on PCs, and then away missions are on the iPhone, and each phone is a tricorder. Can you imagine how awesome that would be?
Oh, wait, I stand corrected. It works on an iPhone.
Oh, that's cool.
And
I like my idea better, though.
Yeah, and you have access to everything right there on your iPhone, which is a little...
Wow.
I don't know exactly how it's going to work, but, you know, I almost want to just give them the $3. Just basically say, here, you took my $40, because I did pay for it myself, because it's so worth it. And then, you know, now it's like, hey, take my other money now, please.
Here's all of the money.
Yeah, please, take all of the monies.
You know, this is completely off topic, but you mentioned iPhones as tricorders. Did you see that there's, I think it was a Dutch company, was it? Or Summer Runner has invented a working tricorder to where you have this device. It's not just a throwaway device, but it's this device you put up to a person's right temple and it gives you all of their vitals, including like blood oxygen level and all this kind of stuff. I mean, it's completely ungame related, but I just thought it was a pretty cool piece of
Oh,
tech
that's cool.
news.
That is awesome. No, I have not read about that. I'll have to look that up. Very cool. Well, we have one more topic, official topic for this evening. And I think this was another one of Luke's, the Holiday Buying Guide, games for his and her games.
Yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of people going out and they're talking about, oh, I don't know what to get this person for Christmas, or I don't know what to get this first person for Christmas. So I was thinking maybe not do it on this episode because time is running short and what have you. But I was thinking maybe we should just do an episode, not just the best of episode. That is everything throughout the entire year and what our thoughts are on the past year in gaming. But I was thinking if there was maybe one or two absolute must-buy titles, if the person doesn't own it, what would be the games that we would call our must-buys from the year? I know that sounds a little odd, but
No, but for the holidays, not for the entire year, you're saying, but you're saying.
just we got the holiday season. Which ones do you feel are the must-buys for this season?
Interesting.
So that was kind of I wasn't sure if we'd be able to do that this episode because I don't know if anybody actually thought of that.
Like for me, I think I would say something like Lego Lord of the Rings because it's a very, like I said, I'm really looking forward to it because I can play it with my son, and it, my wife can watch it and laugh. I mean, she likes the movies anyway, so the it's a nice family, we can all be involved with playing it kind of thing.
Yeah.
So that would be something I would consider.
So, but maybe for next episode, maybe for
Yeah,
next week,
definitely.
we can come up with that. What do you think, Dave?
Oh yeah, I'd definitely be up for that.
All right. So let's let that one sit on the back burner for a week, and then we're going to also pose this to our audience. What do you think
Yeah,
is
definitely.
one or two must-buy games for the year? Please let us know. Get a hold of us on Twitter at JPS Game Podcast. Get a hold of us on Facebook, facebook.com/justpressstart. Or is it JPS Game Podcast? It might be both. All right. But get a hold of us. You can email us as well. Jeff is jeff@justpressstart.net. Dave is dave@justpressstart.net. It's really not that hard. I'm zasterox@justpressstart.net because I just haven't changed it yet.
And if we don't own the games that you're talking about, send us a copy of the game too, and we'll confirm whether we think it's a good choice. Oh,
Yeah,
wait,
please,
what?
please. If any developers are listening and you haven't sent us that, we will more than welcome the free game in our call. Anyway.
Boy. Anyway, gentlemen, I think it's a good time to wrap things up. I know that Dave has to take off. So, from all of us here at the JPS podcast, justpressstart.net, thank you so much for listening. And we hope to talk to you. I guess we're getting back to a weekly schedule. So, we should be on next week, but then the week after is Christmas. So,
Yeah, I think we're gonna. Wow, next week. Oh man, that's right.
well, next week will be the 18th, and then it'll be Christmas week.
Wow, I was hoping to actually get our best of show done before New Year's, but I guess that's not happening.
Well, you never know. It's
Hey,
pop.
it's late like always.
Woohoo! Well, it gives everybody else a chance to do their lame ones, and then we come in and we swoop in and do the good one.
That's a great way to look at it.
Yeah. Save the best for February.
No. January. Come
So.
on now, let's not be that late like we were the first year we did it.
Well, yeah. So anyway, from all of us here at the podcast, thanks very much, and we'll talk to you next week.
Have fun.